It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Talkin' Golf. If you're on your way to your tee time, hit them straight, will ya? You golfers surely remember the Big Bertha. And I'm not talking about the huge German artillery piece, but that's what the historic driver was named after. I'm talking about the driver that revolutionized the golf equipment business. And joining me now is Nicholas Callaway, the son of the late Ely Callaway, who founded and ran Callaway Golf. Welcome to Talking Golf, Nicholas.
Thank you, Anne. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I had the pleasure of interviewing your dad a while back.
Yes, I remember well.
You remember well for my show on the Golf Channel. What a Southern gentleman. And so accomplished, really. And I didn't realize what a great amateur player he was.
He was. In fact, he was a lifelong golfer. And he almost turned pro when he was a teen. But most people who know of him as a golf entrepreneur didn't realize that he brought a lifetime of playing and understanding the game before he started his golf club company at the age of 64.
Unbelievable. He had three different careers, right?
He did. First, he was in the textile industry for 40 years. And then at the age of 50, at the end of the 60s, he moved to California and became one of the first premium varietal wine growers in the then fledgling California wine industry. And that was called Callaway Vineyards and Winery. And he built that up. And after 15 years, he sold it and was planning to retire. But then he met two gentlemen who had invented a hickory over steel set of wedges. And he was so intrigued by it that he bought the company.
And voila, he got into the golf club manufacturing business.
He sure did. And for a few years, it was, it was a little tiny company. It was sort of a novelty item, these hickory sticks. But then along came the Big Bertha, and the rest is history.
Unbelievable. So how exactly did the Big Bertha driver come about?
Well, it was the principle of that if you create an oversized head, whether it's a tennis racket or a golf club, that you're increasing the size of the sweet spot. So he said, I can't guarantee you that I'll improve your game, but the driver is the most intimidating club in the bag, and you will enjoy it more with the Big Bertha.
Definitely. And it was made for the average golfer. As you said, if you didn't hit it on the sweet spot, the engineers there figured the ball still had a good chance of going straight.
Yeah, it was very far. Very forgiving.
And every driver since has had, that big head. And it really was, what was the reaction when it first came out? I remember it was just so cool when it first came out. Your father, sent me a Big Bertha driver. And I mentioned to you, I still have it in my basement. I will never get
great.
Rid of it. It's a collector's item for sure. But what was the reaction back then?
Well, I can tell you my reaction, which was, after about 5 or 6 years of these hickory sticks, which we didn't really in the family, we didn't really take it very seriously. I played golf with him one day, as I had all my life, and he had a bag with a towel over it hiding these new products. And he said, he held up the club before unveiling it and said, this is going to revolutionize the golf club industry, and I'm going to call it the Big Bertha. What do you think of the name, Nicholas? And I said, I think that's the worst name for a product I've ever heard. And he said, well, you're wrong. It's actually a great name because it has a story behind it, which was the World War I cannon. And he said, and besides that, it is going to make it easier for the average golfer around the world to enjoy the game. And he said, just remember, the product makes the name doesn't make the product. And so he said, why don't you try it out? I said, I still think it's a terrible name. And he said, well, try it out. So I addressed the ball and hit it, and it made a very strange sound. and the club head flew off the shaft about 20 yards, and the ball dribbled off the tee. And he said, well, we still got a few gluing problems, but I guarantee you we're going to work it out, and it's going to be big.
Unbelievable. You mean when you hit the ball, the club actually broke initially?
Yeah, it broke.
That's incredible.
It was still a prototype, but they figured it out, and of course, it was a sensation. I took the golf industry by storm, I guess, in the early 90s. But the funny thing is that it was so big then, but it looks tiny now compared to, you know, the way club head size has continued to increase.
That's right. That's right. Well, I remember you saying I didn't realize it, but Callaway was the first golf club company to go public.
It was, I think, in 1992, and because it was a sleepy old industry, and he really shook things up, and it became the first golf club company. It became the largest golf club company in the world, and the first one to achieve $1 billion in sales during his lifetime in the late 90s. And I think that's when you first met him.
Right. And yeah, I was on the Golf Channel in the late 90s, and Bruce Parker, may he rest in peace, he was a sales rep, a telemarketer for Callaway.
And yes, he was the first head of sales. Yep.
He did such an incredible job. He got that Big Bertha in everybody's hands, and, you know, in the media and stars. I remember calling him. I got to, you know him, and we became good buddies. And I would call him and say, listen, I just saw Celine Dion do a commercial for you. Can you get me to Celine Dion so I can ask her to be on my show on the Golf Channel? And he said, hold on a second. Within 2 minutes, he had me on the phone with Celine Dion. And within 5 minutes, I booked her on my show. That's the power of Bruce Parker.
Yeah. He was a great salesman, and I think he learned a lot of lessons from Ely.
Oh, yeah. And then they also, you know, Alice Cooper did a lot of spots for Callaway Golf back in the day, and Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
They got a lot of celebrities to embrace the Big Bertha.
They did. They did a campaign with celebrities in all fields, talking about how much they love the Big Bertha. I think they had Bill Gates on there. And so, yeah, Ely was a master marketer.
He really was. And, of course, you learned a lot from your dad. You are the founder and CEO of Callaway Arts and Entertainment. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You didn't go into the golf business.
Well, I already had my company. I learned entrepreneurial lessons from my dad. He was an anti-nepotist. He didn't want any family members being in business with him. So I started my company, which is a cross-platform media company, in the early 80s. This is our 40th anniversary, and we work with artists all over the world, and we're producing the last book with the Beatles called The Beatles Get Back this fall on October 12th. It's being released in 10 languages and 100 countries around the world, and it's the companion to a Peter Jackson film that tells the story of the making of the last Beatles album, Let It Be, their final iconic rooftop concert, and then their breakup. And he says we don't know the real story, so he's going to tell it he's going to tell the real story. And so our book, which is called The Beatles Get Back, is the companion to that film and to the 50th anniversary re-release of Let It Be.
That's incredible. Will it be a coffee table book, or what kind of format?
Yes, it's a $60 coffee table book with hundreds of pictures taken by Linda McCartney, Paul's then girlfriend, soon to be wife, and of them in the recording studio as they were making the album. It was the only time they did record both their conversations and made pictures during the making of an album. So it's a historic book, and we hope that all of your golfing fans are also Beatles fans.
Definitely. And I remember I used a picture of you standing next to Madonna to promote your appearance on this show. So you've had quite a run with a lot of different personalities.
We work with a lot of well-known artists, musical artists, visual artists, and we've been Madonna's publisher for about 20 years now. So So, yeah, we're very, very fortunate to work with some of the most talented people of our time.
Well, I had the great pleasure of playing golf with you, Nicholas, and your buddy Bill Beattie, and my friend Ann Nussbaum at National Golf Links. And you started talking about your dad, and it brought back so many memories. I just wanted to get you on the show. So I'm glad you had a chance to come on
and recall
the Big Bertha in the Origins.
Well, Ely made sure to introduce us. He was very fond of you, and you did a wonderful interview, one of the last with him. So I thank you for that. And I'm going off to play a tournament now, so I'll sign off.
Thank you so much. Good luck. Hit them well, and have a great rest of the summer, what's left of it.
And thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Nicholas Callaway. Oh, man. Well, gosh, my thanks to Nicholas. My thanks to Scott Wood, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Great job, Ed, all season long. Brian Rascona helped in production this week. I want to thank Hotel Indigo and Riverhead. I want to thank my sponsors, Travelers and IB Cool. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is the final Talking Golf show of the season. So thanks again to all the amazing guests who came on the show this season. If you'd like to hear any of the shows at your leisure, they are archived on my website at annlegori.com. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori was brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for women and men, performance-driven, stylish, and ultra-soft for all your on- or off-course activities. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Hey, I look forward to returning next April with Talking Golf live from the Masters. Until then, you'll hear me today from the U.S. Open Tennis, hopefully from the Ryder Cup. Follow me on social media. Visit my website. Coming up, Rick Wolf in the Sports Edge. And I look forward to connecting with you next time on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.